Welcome back, everybody, for another episode of Confident ROI. The one show that gives you confidence that you're going to get some real actionable ideas. Some real ROI from the man who sought it out his whole life and brings it to his clients every day. Whether you work in the business, work on it, or work in it, you need to tune in to Confident ROI with Alex Barovio. Hey, Alex. Oh, let's get your mic up. That'll help. There you go.
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, sir. You were here bright and early, chomping at the bit here. How's the magazine going these days? We had a whole bunch of copies in our studio, and boy, they flew out the door here. So
they are flying off the newsstand. And if you don't have your copy, we can send it to you. And we can send you a physical copy. We can send you the digital copy. You can download it at confidentroi.com. And now you can listen to it.
Ooh, now you got me.
If you haven't heard enough of my nasally voice, you can go to Confident ROI. You can download the podcast and listen to it on the road.
Any early indication what format is the most popular here so far?
Well, the Audible version has made it all the way to Asia already and been downloaded.
There you
go.
And
I haven't been banned by any of the
Chinese major, or anything? You haven't been banned yet?
No. I was going to say the social networks, but I guess the Chinese government would be right up there with their decisions on what to ban.
I think so. I think they're discussing it right now over there. And you know, maybe you'll be the first magazine in North Korea here.
It would be... maybe banned. I'd be all right with that.
Okay. So who'd you bring with you today?
Well, today I brought a friend, Dennis McMurray, and I was talking to Dennis on the phone, and he was an investor, and he's part of the senior leadership team of a company called Infuse, and he was telling me the story about what this company developed and the process it went through, and I thought it was interesting for the audience in two ways. One is they've developed this service that when you watch a video, you always hear, well, click on the show notes page. They've developed something where right in the video you can click. You can buy it now, right now. You can engage it right now, which is interesting to say the least, because we're all trying to get people to engage with our communications nowadays somehow, some way. Dennis was telling me there's about 8 billion videos on Facebook, and how many times you get people to watch it, but hey, they got to go click down below, right, to take action. And he was telling me about this amazing service, but that was interesting in itself. But then he told me the story on how it was developed in the 4-year process and the millions of lines of code. And that's what was really interesting, because that sounded like a story in itself. So that's why I've invited him on. And Dennis, are you there?
I am. Alex, how are you?
We're doing great here. We are in the Orange County Command today. I don't have eyes on the Canadian border, so I don't know if it's all quiet up there or not, especially with all everything going on.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm thrilled to be here, and hopefully I can give your listeners some good tidbits that they can take back and implement immediately to, you know, engage their audience, so to speak.
Yeah, well, tell us about Infuse and what why does it exist?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, what it is, Infuse is the world's first interactive video CRM company. I always feel like I have to say that twice, right? Because interactive video is so new. It's a mind shift. And when I say it, it often puts people on their heels, but that's what it is. It's the world's first interactive video CRM platform. And our flagship product is something called Notify CRM. And effectively, it just does two things, right? It helps people shorten sales cycles, and it helps people close more business. And
how's it help them do that?
Well, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, Facebook, there's 8 billion videos watched every day, just on Facebook alone.
Every day?
Every day. 8 billion a day. And here's what's even more wild, right? Video is growing on the internet by 100% per year. The numbers are staggering, right? What, you know, video does a lot of things, right? It helps you. It grabs your attention. I watch videos and it evokes all of these emotions. For complex subjects, it can provide a lot of clarity. And it just creates value for, you know, anybody that has a product or service that uses a video. The data is very clear. People are would rather watch a video than to read a really long email or social post about that. And I don't have to look any further than my own habits when I'm online. I watch videos all day long, not because I'm in the business, but that's just is what 70% of the web traffic is. It's video. So it's not just me. If I look at my kids, I've got two teenagers. They're watching videos all day long. Not only are they watching videos, every social media platform that they're on, and I'll just take Instagram, for example, it's a very, very, very popular one, has become about 50% video. I remember when it was just pictures. Then they started adding video, and now it's about a 50-50 split. So video is beyond enormous, and it's getting bigger every day. So people are already engaged in the video world. Now, just imagine if you're selling a product or service and you can add a button. Imagine adding a buy now button or a learn more or a connect with us button inside of that video. So when you send out those videos to your audience, whether, you know, pretend it's a prospective client, and somebody's watching that video and their interest level is peaked at a certain point in that video, if they have the opportunity to take action and click a button and buy your product or engage your service, your conversion rates are going to skyrocket. It's irrefutable. It's undeniable. It's just
what have you guys seen? What does your data show?
Yeah, our data is showing right now up to and the numbers is staggering. The numbers showing about a 600% increase in conversion. 600%. Those are they're jaw dropping numbers. They're meaningful numbers, and so that's why I think we are, you know, we've been able to get the attention of companies like Oracle and NetSuite when they saw this. They wanted to do a partnership in integration. When companies like Marketo saw this, they did the same thing, and we've got other companies that we've yet to release that are, you know, wowed by this technology because they see the power of the technology and really where this marketplace is going, especially on the web.
Sure. So, I mean, it sounds like a great idea. And is it like Elon Musk? He decided to dig a hole, and now he's got a contract to dig a hole from Chicago to the airport, you know, in less than 2 years. So, I mean, all right, it makes sense. Hey, why not click in the video? Why have to go show notes page? You guys, the founder, come up with this idea, and a couple weeks later, roll this out. And now you guys are a public company?
Yeah, it's just in a couple of weeks. No, the truth is this is years of development. Several years of development went into this. We had our initial product, our legacy product, was a CRM system, but I would call it CRM Lite. You know, we've got some extraordinary developers that really put in the framework for really where we are today. But no, millions of lines of code, teams of developers developing this over several years, and our founder is, he's one of those rare breeds that's able to see, you know, kind of around the corner. He's able to see what's coming. He started pivoting a couple of years ago into this technology space because there's a lot of great CRM companies out there. There are fantastic companies that are household names, and I don't have to tell you names like Salesforce, and there's others that have done a great job building a tool, and a CRM tool that was built 2 decades ago. They do a great job. Listen, Salesforce, I'll just use them as an example because I think they are the giants in the industry.
Well, at least they got the biggest headquarters now.
Right? They do a great job of tracking. They do a great job of telling me when my client's birthday is. They do a great job of creating, allowing me to create a profile of a client with their name, address, phone number, and all the basic information. And it'll send me a task or a notification when I input that information into the system. But what they don't do is they don't help me close the sale. They don't help me shorten the sales cycle. But they do help me extract data from a client, and that's I don't want that's a very, very important part of the puzzle. But our founder Rory Cataia said there's got to be a better way. Why don't we create a CRM tool? But why don't we bring it up to the 21st century? In fact, let's put it into the 22nd, because interactive video doesn't quite exist. So let's build an interactive video system that helps you sell, and effectively that's what he's done.
So was the company originally CRM based, or was it always the concept of getting more engagement through the video?
Initially when he first started, I believe it, I think his thoughts were, I can create a sales tool. Mm-hmm. And I think as he began to pivot and explore sales tool options, I think it made sense to him to say, hey, listen, if I can put this tool inside of a CRM system for sales and marketing professionals, and I can also display all the analytics, because the analytics are incredibly important. Who's watched the video? How long did they watch it? What did they click on? That's important data. So now you can understand the buyer's journey. And now you understand really, really quickly if you've got a hot prospect that is engaged in your product or service, or somebody that hasn't watched the video at all. That would be, mark them off your list and move on. So the tool combined with the analytics inside of the CRM has become just enormously popular.
And how long was the development process?
Well, quite frankly, we're still in the... we've just released our 2.0 version. That is our newest version. That is, again, Notify CRM. That is our flagship. So, again, as in software, right, you're always, always iterating and developing, but our system's fully ready to go right now.
And so there's years of coding in that. Were there any significant events along the way? I mean, when you're going this kind of programming and you're trying, video's exploding, things are changing. How does the company develop something over that period of time and kind of know where it's going and hit the mark?
Well, like I said, I think that's the brilliance of our CEO, Rory, right? He's he's able to kind of see around the bend. He's able to see almost into the future on where he thinks this could and should be positioned, who would be a good partner, who would be good to integrate with. So the way we structured our version 2.0 is we've got this open API architecture, which means, quite frankly, we can plug in and do a handshake data exchange with virtually any company. So, again, the brilliance of I'm going to give all the credit to Rory. We've got a fantastic team assembled, but really, our fearless leader is Rory, and he's been able to kind of see, almost into the future on where this space was going and where the gaps were and how we were able to build something to fill in those gaps.
Sure. So you're involved in spreading the word about this, and you had the 1.0 version and 2.0. What did you get in feedback from people and users out there that they put into 2.0, and what's out there in the future? Sounds like you had the API. Anything else? How do you guys listen to you're given a tool for people to analyze, and you got to analyze how people are analyzing. So how do you sift through that, and how do you decide, you know, what are you going to put in there? You guys are a public company. You got to make your numbers. And
Sure. I think the answer is easy. Like any well-run company, you've got to do one thing, and you've got to do it really well, and you've got to listen. You've got to listen to your customers. You've got to, you know, understand their feedback. And we've got amazing clients. We really do. And they've told us, hey, listen, I would like this feature. And we are very open to implementing feedback. Whether good, whether bad, we're open. I mean, in this legacy product, in our newest version, you know, one of the clients said, hey, listen, and this is a very, very, very large client. They said, listen, we need a more robust notes section, right? When I'm talking to a client, I need to be able to take a lot of notes because these are complex conversations. And so really expanding certain fields and moving scales around. So I think that goes with any organization. I think you've got to listen to your customers.
How do you listen to one? Obviously, yeah, you got a big customer. It's a big client. They probably have a louder voice, right? But how do you?
Sure.
But
sure.
Yeah. But to put code in, anytime you're messing with the code, from what I know, it's code I've screwed up. That involves a process, right? Nothing's as easy as just adding one line of code. So when you say listen to customers, how do you know you're listening correctly and not just hearing one voice?
Well, I think I think we asked, right? Our team of developers and coders are really, really, really smart guys. And, this is what they do. This is what they do all day, every day. They've got the majority of the framework laid out. But, I think we have, more importantly, open dialogue. All of our clients have a voice. And I think as a publicly traded company, if you listen to our founder, he's just transparent. He's absolutely transparent. If something stumbles or we fall somehow and we pick ourselves up and we learn from that experience. So it's about being transparent, open dialogue, listening, implementing, iterating, and moving on. So it's great relationships.
Okay.
What we have.
All right, we're going to take a break here now, Dennis, and we'll be back after the interlude.
Okay.
And we'll try and make the interlude brief. We just want to remind everybody that the magazine we keep talking about, Confident ROI, is confidently on the stands these days. It's really the only way to discover the right tool to improve your company. What works in the real world? Well, you can not only listen to the podcast, but you can read about it as well. Confident ROI. In the current issue, the inaugural issue, you can learn how to unleash your inner supercomputer or cure for hiring headaches, or learn more about the entrepreneurial operating system, one of many out there, or listen to The Seven Strata of Strategy by Vern Harnish, the founder and CEO of Gazelles, another important tool people are used to hearing about and using. All these are critical moments, catalysts in getting your company to go to the next level. Now you can read about it as well as listen to it. ConfidentROI.com. And we'll get back to Alex, and he can tell us what's that website. People can go and get a free subscription. I still can't believe that. You're still doing free subscriptions to the magazine?
We are doing free. It's a lot easier with the taxes.
I like that. I've never heard that approach. Just the heck with this making money here. I don't have to worry about taxes.
Trying to help out with the CPI index and the basket of goods and the costing. So
I got it. I really got it.
My contribution.
Hey, oil has gone up, but magazine subscriptions have gone down. I get it. It'll all balance out in the end here in the consumer index. All right. What's the website where they go get it?
ConfidentROI.com.
That's simple. ConfidentROI.com. All right. Back to Alex and his guest.
Hey, Dennis. So you told us, how you guys have developed this product and how it makes it more easy to interact. And frankly, I got to ask the question. You're in the cyberspace world. You guys have a nine-figure market valuation. you're solving big problems for companies like Oracle, and your website has a number of other ones out there. Is it just a straight line, you know, from idea to there? Were there any moments where you just, man, I can't believe we missed that, or this isn't working? Any challenges you can share? Because to the outside world, it just seems like Silicon Valley and everything's just from idea to lots of commas and zeros, and the rest of the world, it's kind of, we don't get to skip all those stages. So, Annie, can you pull back and tell us a little something about the reality of having a cyber breakthrough?
Yeah, where did we misstep? I think every company always missteps at some level, some way. Whether you hear about it or not is that. But I think we really gained a big advantage when we created our newest product, our version 2.0. Our legacy product was amazing. And it was amazing, I think, in only one way. It was the seed. It was the foundation of interactive video. The tool was so unique and so different. Every person I would show a demo to, and I think Alex, I even sent you a couple of demos to watch. Everybody, watches. They scratch their head or they grab their chin and they say, "Wow, that is cool. Let me watch that again." So we knew our legacy product was special, but the misstep was it didn't have all of the, I guess you would say, parts, features, or functionality of a traditional CRM in terms of, all right, how can we send out an email campaign? How do we create a profile of a customer? We added things like threads and tags, and we made the analytics more robust, right? The data is the new currency, right? You've got to understand who is watching your videos, how long was the videos. And more importantly, we understood that the video links, the interactivity, that portion had to be dynamic, meaning that for a company, let's for instance, a retail company that would put a coupon in the video for somebody to click on to download the coupon so they could use the coupon. Well, if the coupon wasn't working, maybe they offered a 5% or a 10% coupon in the video. They found they weren't getting the type of engagement in that video. We wanted to make the video dynamic in that they could go in and immediately perhaps increase that coupon to a 15% or a 20% coupon to drive traffic. So really, it's just a lot of back-end thinking on how that was best facilitated went into 2.0. But I think, again, as I said, the misstep was not thinking about those things on the front end. But I'm glad to say we've thought through them now. And they're available in our newest version, and we're extremely proud of the newest version.
Well, that comes up a lot in the world of you have a new idea and there's a breakthrough, but does it have the trade-off between having everything? And I'm new to the interactive world, but man, there are so many apps and so many things that go into it, from creating content to sharing content to tracking content. Imagine these bigger companies that are sharing these videos, they want to connect it with everything else, right? And is that where the API, you mentioned having the API connection, is that what connects it to their other aspects of their marketing, online marketing apparatus?
Absolutely. So, I mean, you can, the system is built, in such a way that, we think for most small and mid-size and even some large companies, they can use the full, robust enterprise CRM system. For, I would call them super enterprise companies, they might already have a robust CRM system in place with tens or even hundreds of thousands of users on it. That conversion is going to be very tough for them to leave that existing product. So the way it was built was they actually have the ability to just pull out our interactivity editor and plug it into their system. What is, you know, in our open API architecture. So the beautiful part about that is that we almost can fit inside any company, no matter if it's a mom and pop or if it's the largest company on earth. So, I mean, it was extraordinary. And for those huge companies, we're not trying to, you know, increase them by 100%. These are fractional, very small increases when you're talking about the largest companies on earth that make a huge difference. Do you know who Andrew Landry is?
I do not.
Yeah, Andrew Landry. You know, I'll give you a quick story on Andrew Landry. He is. I know you love golfing. I know we've talked about that in the past, but Andrew Landry is on the PGA Tour. He's ranked about number 100 in the world. So the number one guy right now is Dustin Johnson or Justin Thomas. But their average score, just Dustin Johnson shoots on average about 69.3, his average round score. Andrew Landry, his average score is 71. There's two strokes difference, but Dustin Johnson is a household name, and I think actually one of the favorites to win this week in the U.S. Open. But it's less than a 2% difference in terms of earning potential, in terms of becoming a household name. It's just a small, small, small fraction of difference makes an enormous difference on the PGA. Sometimes adding a tool like ours with a super enterprise company makes an enormous difference to their bottom line, and it's just a small, small change. So, you know, we're thrilled and over the moon to be able to offer this
sure
in such a way where anybody can use it.
So the you have this end user ability to increase their interaction, but what I'm hearing is that, and it gets people's attention when they look at it, like, wow, I'll play it again. I've never seen this. But then they go back, and how are they going to integrate it with the app, with their apparatus marketing that's out there? And that can be a challenge. That, from their perspective, how are they going to bring this in? That is becoming more of a consideration in marketing.
No, I think people want it when they see it.
Yep.
They will figure out a way to either, you know, use this in conjunction with what they're already using, or bring in again that open API and literally do an integration into their existing system. So we've seen it both ways, where companies are starting to integrate, or just saying, hey, listen, we're going to use their end-to-end tool right alongside what we're already using for sales and marketing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It kind of reminds me of this. I read this book on BlackBerry. Remember the old phone from a decade
ago?
Sure,
of course.
I got a good friend, Freddie, who's finally giving up his BlackBerry. And what they found when they originally started selling it, they didn't try to sell it to the CIOs, the information officers, because they didn't want the headache. They already had their communication platform. They went and sold it directly to CEOs, put it in their hand, and when the CEO said, I got to have this, we got to have them, then it became someone else's problem to integrate it. It changed the dynamics of things, and there's stories out there of how do you get things that are, hey, this makes sense, you got to have this, and versus the people who are kind of the gatekeepers of systems, like, well, how's it going to fit? I have a good friend, David Savowitz, I'm trying to get on the show. and he does data analysis for big companies as well. And his thing is always, you talk to the information officers, and they don't want to do it. You know, but on the CEO side, they want to do it. They see the analytics. They see the ability to get insight more than anything. And you mentioned this data currency. Can you share with us how some of these companies are using data as a currency? And you talked about Andrew Landry and the small differences, but how are they doing it? I mean, I've heard some things like what Facebook analyzes and these small things and Google, but can you share anything with what that really means to these companies?
Sure. I mean, well, you know, I think the analytics tell the story, right? Analytics will drive behavior. So effectively, the analytics, I think, become the new currency. That is, you've got to be able to look your sales and marketing people in the eyes and say, hey, this is just not working. We need to change messaging. We need to pivot. We need to restructure how these videos are shot. We need to change these links based on the analytics. The analytics are everything. And so when you have the ability to continue to iterate inside of video, and the beautiful part about the system is all of the links, when you're watching the video, the ability to click on something inside of the video while the video is still going is absolute magic. We've got a lot of data that also shows when people watch video and they have to leave the video, and a traditional video, if you have to leave the video to write down a phone number, to write down a website or a person's name or the product or service, 80% of those people, Alex, are never coming back to the video.
Wow.
You've lost them. They're gone. That revenue is gone. So imagine having the ability, again, to click inside of a video while the video is running when your interest is piqued. It's a game changer. I know I heard you, and I believe it's Paul, talking about your book. Imagine your commercial is describing the benefits of your book, and somebody could click on the book and buy it now. That's game changing for you and for them, because I know there's gems inside of your book that they can use forever. So, I mean, that's the power of interactive video.
I did a mailing of my magazine, and you know, you hear if you get less than a 1% response, you know, that's great in direct mail in the old days when we sent it out.
Sure.
And what are they seeing in terms of response rates in video and maybe with video and the click with inside?
Yeah, sure. I mean, click rates on, if we're just comparing, I mean, you said direct mail. That goes way back.
And that's right? Regular mail, not direct email.
Correct. So you're going way back. But for traditional, I believe, emails, I've seen data that is in the 1 to 3% click rates. When you add a video, when the video becomes the message, it's 2, 3, or 4 times that. But the magic happens in terms of conversion when people start to watch the video. Again, having a call to action. You must have a call to action, whether you have a call to action in the front, middle, or end of the video. These conversions are generating up to 600% more. The numbers are astonishing.
Yeah, Dennis, he's call to action. Is that a video game, or what is that for the non-marketing enlightened?
Yeah, that's just it. A call to action is simply a request. It's a request. Imagine any video that you're watching from any, you know, any retailer. It doesn't matter if it's Nordstrom's and you see somebody talk about their fall line, imagine, they said, if you want to look at our fall line, click here. When they say click here, or when that button is blinking in the, on the side, that's a call to action. So having some sort of engagement request inside of the video would be the call to action.
And that is that, from a marketing perspective nowadays, is that the equivalent of the old days of call in? You know, we got a phone call. We generated a call. We generated a lead. When you get someone to click, is that their, is that the pot of gold they're looking for from a marketing perspective?
Yeah, I think so, right? I mean, listen, everybody sells. Everybody sells a product or service. So, Alex, despite all the training in the world, most people just are not very good at selling. I mean, it's tough. They don't like rejection. They don't like trying to sell their friends or family. Or just sales can be tough. Sales can be very tough. So if you can eliminate the sales skills out of the sales process, or at least add a feature that helps people sell more, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing for the sales professional, right?
Right. Now, does Infuse help their clients analyze what's working and not working and how to optimize? I mean, you get a button, and I see you have an airline there, and they're introducing a new place they're flying to, and they have the button. Do you guys work with them to, when do you give them the button, and what color the button is, and
Sure. Yeah, we absolutely do. I mean, we've got something that we recently rolled out called our concierge service, and that's just it. It is a managed platform where we've got experts on staff that will help, guide you through what button seems to be working best for this type of campaign. Where should you place it? At what time in the video should be the first call to action? Where should that direct to? Should it go to your call center, or should it go to a sales rep? Should there be an email function? That is our concierge service. We walk people through that on a weekly basis. It's something that we definitely offer for clients, and we're thrilled to do it.
All right. Well, we're going to take our last commercial break of the hour, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Dennis, the Irishman.
All right, before we do that, we want to talk about the guy who is hosting this show, Alex Vorobyev. You know, if you're one of the many people, like me, trying to decide what business tool to use, what concept to implement, what ideas should I put in place to try and move the ball? Well, there is a man who knows how to do it very well, and he's hosting this show, Alex Vorobyev. He was the first business advisor to focus on helping companies and leaders find their unique tools, their starting line, and the tool for any situation to get them started. He goes out and evaluates all the tools. He summarizes them, and he doesn't just present the one or two that he knows. He takes a look at all of them and helps you find the best. So if that sounds like something you need, go to confidentroi.com. That's confidentroi.com. ROI.com. Read the magazine, listen to the podcast, and talk to the man himself. Call his office at 949-478-0042. That's 949-478-0042. But don't do it right now, because we got a lot more of the show right now.
Thanks, Paul. Man, I feel like the Danny Bonaducci of Business Improvement Radio right now.
Uh-oh, we lost your guest there. He hung up on us here. We lost him somewhere. Let's go to another commercial, and we'll see if we can call him right back.
All right, sounds good.
Premier Rewards Gold Card from American Express. The rewards points can keep on multiplying. Buy 3 with triple points on airfare. Buy 2 with double points on gas and groceries. And a single point for pretty much every other dollar you spend on the card. Then, start choosing from over 1 million rewards to redeem all those points. Apply today, and the annual fee for the first year is on us. Call 1-800-AXP-GOLD or visit axpgold.com. The annual fee for the card is $175. See terms terms, conditions, and restrictions at axbgold.com.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com. All right. You know, the power of that commercial was your guest even found himself hanging up and trying to call you immediately. He didn't even realize what he was doing there. So now we have him back on the phone with you here.
Thank you.
All right, Dennis, so we're going to shift the attention here to you and your 20-year career and what you've learned over it. What business books and concepts have had an impression on you?
Oh, boy. There is a million. I mean, 2 decades in, you know, kind of biz dev sales, I've learned a lot, and I wish I would have started earlier, but I'm a fanatical reader. I mean, books that have inspired me are anything, you know, obviously classics like Michael Gerber's E-Myth. I mean, that is a book that has been a framework for any entrepreneur or any business person wanting to start a company, start a business, and really doesn't know where to begin. I absolutely love that. Obviously, Jim Collins wrote a book called Good to Great. Phenomenal book about, you know, just organizations and, you know, how companies, why companies lead and why other companies don't lead. And then I finally like a guy named Mitch Anthony. Mitch Anthony's wrote, gosh, several books in the financial services space, and he wrote one called Selling with Emotional Intelligence. So, you know, talking about stories, and I think, you know, those three authors are just, you know, spot on.
Yeah, I haven't heard of Mitch Anthony, but Selling with Stories, how does that work?
Well, I think, you know, people connect with stories. So, you know, I think everybody can relate. Like, you know, I mentioned earlier, I know you... you've got a golfing background, and I think you love golf, and, you know, I think people connect with stories, and I think anytime that you can draw a connection with a story, you increase the relationship, and thus you get the opportunity to do business with somebody across the table from you.
All right. And have you any examples of how you've used stories to get people engaged in a product?
In a product? I mean,
just you know, getting them more connected with what you're trying to explain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the story of, you know, me meeting Rory, our CEO, and how I was just so absolutely blown away by the technology. You know, we were sitting in Los Angeles inside of a hotel lobby when I first met him, and he described to me exactly what he was doing. But moreover, he let me into his world a little bit. When I found out that he had sold his previous company for north of $200 million, and then it was resold again 5 years later for $1.9 billion, I said, okay, that check all those financial boxes. Smart guy. He knows where to step, but I think more importantly, he knows where not to step, right? There's an enormous amount of landmines out there in the software world that can get you, you know, blown up. And, you know, a guy with proven success is a good guy you want to hitch your wagon to. So,
what are some of those landmines? Is there anything that kind of comes up inside the company, like, hey, we got to avoid that, or, you know, watch out for that?
Yeah, I think anything, especially in today's world, from your systems being hacked and make sure that your system is fully, you know, secure. Security is a big deal in today's world. I think as a publicly traded company, you've got to abide by all the rules, and there's no shortage of regulatory rules that you got to abide by. And I think you got to be properly funded. So you've got to work with partners who believe in the technology, that believe in the team, that believe in the strategy. Yeah, there's a ton of them, and we've been able to, you know, again, sidestep or miss them only because we've got great leadership. Our CEO and our CFO are second to none, and I'm honored to be shoulder to shoulder with them on a daily basis.
That's great. Dennis, regarding business tools and concepts, you've worked in some big entities, you've worked in smaller ones. Have you ever seen, what is your experience in different ones being implemented that either worked or didn't work? And that can be the full gamut from HR ideas to how to market things to strategy development, planning. Any concepts you can share with us in your insight?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we play in the CRM space, and that is a complex space from some major players, names I've already mentioned. But that's a tough space. So when we started, you know, doing our outbound, our outreach, how do you compete from an SEO lane with companies that literally have unlimited resources, right? That's a tough lane to play in. So we had to pivot, right? We had to think outside of the box. We had to think about how can we get traction in the CRM space when people literally can really get those rankings. So we had to think, what would a seasoned sales and marketing professional want? What types of tools would allow that person to finally reach quota, finally get beyond quota? So we had to pivot out of competing with those names and think differently about our tool and how it would benefit the average seasoned and new salesperson.
Makes sense.
What we did.
Makes sense. That's great.
Yeah.
It's sometimes you got to step back and use that 3-pound supercomputer in your head, huh? That's generally wants to be set on lazy mode. Dennis, I always like to ask our guests about, this kind of dovetails what we were just talking about in the feedback. Any times in your career that took you a little while to confront reality or listen to the feedback and make the adjustment?
Sure, absolutely. I think, you know, sometimes you go into certain ventures and you become stubborn, right? You don't have all of the knowledge and you think you know perhaps more than somebody that's already been there. And I quickly realized, I mean, I was a entrepreneur and I was a solopreneur. I had my own companies in the past, and I think it's just, I mean, where I am now and to understand the leadership I have around me, I think, gosh, you know what? Two heads are better than one. I think, you know, teaming up with really smart individuals that have been there before, that understand the road and that can share their failures with you, because failure, I think, is a good thing. If you can gain that knowledge, it's just going to amplify your results. You're going to become better, and everybody's going to win. So, listen to your peers, and I think join forces with people, quite frankly, who are smarter than you. Tap those people on the shoulder, let them into your world, and see it, and ask them if you can be part of theirs. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. Is there anything you wish you would have known earlier in your career?
Would have known, yeah. I wish I would have started reading a lot more. You know, somebody that writes somebody at the top of the perhaps a New York Times best-selling business author. They've spent 2, 3, or 4 decades accumulating that knowledge. When they put it down on 200 or 300 pieces of paper, that 30 or 40 years of knowledge. Yeah, read that book. You're going to take away some gems. So I wish I would have been an avid reader early in my career, right out of college. I just do. I think I'd be so much, better. And better for me, better for my family, and better for the community, quite frankly.
Well, Dennis, we're coming to the end of our time together. Where can people learn more about Enfuse and solutions and contact you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'd encourage people to just go to our website. I mean, there's no shortage of information on our website. It's Enfuse, the letter N, and then Fuse, F-U-S, as in Sam, Z as in zebra. Enfuse, and our flagship product, again, is Notify with an I, C-R-M. You can find us on the web and check it out. We'd love to have you.
Yeah, your next 3.0, we needed to be able to put it in the podcast that you can somehow click, because that's the next frontier to solve.
I think you're spot on. We'd be honored to do it.
That's going to take some more lines of code, though.
You're probably right.
Well, thanks for joining us, and check out Enfuse, and there's some things that blow your mind on what you can do, and it's a lot easier when you're watching a video to buy what they're selling or get more information on it. Highly recommend it. Thanks, Dennis.
Alex, thank you so much.
All right, fascinating stuff there, Alex. Any final takeaways or thoughts or things we got to wrap up before we wrap up the show?
Well, just what's going on in the space of everybody's competing for everyone's attention.
Boy, isn't that the truth.
And it's not just businesses. I mean, people that are on social media and they want just the dopamine of somebody liking their video. And we're all doing that. And the different tools that are out there that keep expanding and growing, it's amazing what's going on. And frankly, how long some of this stuff takes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you'd think all these guys go to their garage and they're billionaires, you know, a couple months later, but, you know, it's years.
It really is. And the honest answer he gave, that you come out and you know you got something special on our basis, but what about this and what about this? And they're like, you wanted to do that too? You wanted to make toast and do your laundry and everything else? Okay, we'll throw those in as well here. You know, it's never done. There's a never-ending list of wants. And where do you cut that off? When do you decide, enough, let's go to market? Here it is.
Exactly. That's something that's just constant. And that's why we have this radio show. Can we share those ideas and these frontline tools that are out there to help you improve your company, improve your results?
Well, now you got one more tool. You got an Advance Your Company book list, I see. Tell us about that.
I do. The book Transform Your Company provides a framework that you can organize all the business tools out there, including books. And I refer to a lot of books in there, and some people have given me some good-natured ribbing on my analysis of other books. What books are important and why? And so this is not just another book review, or this will be a series. I have a number of them that I'll be releasing, but it boils it down. It's a different take. It's, you know, what is this book about? Why is it important? This is a question I answer right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then boiling it, then where does it fit within the universe of business concepts? Because there's a lot out there, but where you start and where you need to finish is key. So it's where that gives you a location. And finally, I say, it always has a section, hey, Verobi, boil it down. You know, put it down to its key elements that, hey, does this apply? Is this something that I need to read?
Help me use it. Don't just hand me the tool. Show me what it does.
Exactly. And so it's the Advance Your Company book list. The first one on tribal leadership is now available at alexverobi.com. And the next one will be out in a couple weeks.
Okay. Look forward to that more as we tune in every week to Confident ROI right here on Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.